There's a question that people often ask. They may say it verbally, they may just have it in their mind, think about it for a while, and that question is, what is ahead? What lies ahead? Especially when we look at the world today, all that's going on in the Middle East, when we think of what's happening in the United States regarding the election in a couple of days, also a pending election in Canada at some stage. So what is going on? What lies ahead? Well, it's a good question, but the answer to that is, for believers, is something absolutely magnificent. Somewhere in the future, we don't know how far away, is something called the rapture. Now, there may be some in our congregation this morning who do not know what the word rapture means. Actually, the word itself does not appear in Scripture, but the concept of the rapture appears in Scripture. And what is it? Well, it's a time when God the Father is going to say to God the Son, it's time for you to go to earth and collect your bride. The bride is the church. Now, we call the building that we meet in a church. Actually, that's a misnomer, because in fact, we are the church. The people make up the church, but we come to a building together, and that's why we call the building the church. However, God is going to send his son, the groom, to get his bride, the church. And we are going to be extracted out of this earth, and we're going to be with him forever and forever. It's going to be absolutely amazing. It seems impossible. It seems even improbable. But the truth of the matter is, it is going to happen. While the rest of the world, that is unbelievers, so believers in the bride of Christ, go to be in heaven with him. And then unbelievers will all be left behind. And during the time that they are here on earth, for a period of about 7 years, they will be either worshiping or fighting against the world dictator, one known in Scripture as the Antichrist. So they will be here on this earth. Thank God it only lasts 7 years. There will be some people during that time, many, I understand, who will become believers. They won't be part of the church, but they will put their trust in Jesus as Savior and as Lord. And then following that tribulation period, Jesus will defeat his enemies at that point, enemies against Jerusalem. It's kind of reminiscent of what's going on today. There are many nations against Israel, against Jerusalem. And this is where they are at the moment. But it's going to be even worse than that when time goes on at the end of the tribulation period. Again, they're going to come against Israel. At that point, Jesus is going to appear with all the host of seven of heaven. And I believe that includes the church as well. And we'll be coming down with Jesus from heaven, and he will place his foot on the Mount of Olives, and then at that point, he is going to establish his kingdom here on earth. And that kingdom here on earth will last for 1,000 years. What a time of glory that will be. Now, at the end of the 1,000 years, first of all, during that 1,000 years, Satan is in prison. He can't exercise his dirty work throughout the world anymore for that 1,000 years. But toward the end of the 1,000 years, for God's purpose, God's timing, he is going to release Satan. And Satan is then going to come about the world, all the people who are here at that time, and it's really going to sort out those who join the 1,000-year reign, put their trust in Christ, whether or not they have indeed done so, and whether they will follow Jesus, continue to follow him, or they'll follow the evil one. Then at the end of that, God determines that Satan is finished and he will be imprisoned forever and forever. But then we come to a new heaven and a new earth. Absolutely amazing. So let us read the word of God as we find in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 1230. Let us hear the word of God. Then I, John, now just keep in mind, John was a beloved apostle, and being the beloved apostle, he had been transported from the Isle of Patmos to heaven, and he saw things that were going on in heaven and on earth, all in the future. Absolutely amazing that God was able to do this. So in the middle of all that he was seeing, John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. These words are trustworthy and true. The word of God is trustworthy, worthy, and true. And that's why we place all of our trust in Jesus Christ and in his word, the Bible, as the written word of God. We will experience God's new creation. We'll experience that heaven and earth that God has purified. Isn't that magnificent? Looking at our earth today, it needs to be purified, and one day it's going to be. And think of it this way. All the stains of sin will be gone. All the evidence of death will be gone. All disease will be gone. That's something for which we can say, praise God. Among the glorious things we are told in Revelation, there are three that strike us with glorious force. What are those three? They are these: the removal of the sea, the reversal of the curse, and the restoration of all things. So let's take a look at these one item at a time. The removal of the sea. We read these words. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Every time I read that passage of Scripture, I have a little bit of sadness in my mind when it says there will no longer be any sea. Many of you will know that I grew up in Nova Scotia, and the sea was part of my life. And we could just walk within a few minutes any direction, and we could see and experience the sea. And so I think of all of its beauty. I can remember on more than one occasion, I would go down to the seashore. There'd be a beach. There'd be many rocks, some over in that direction, a lot of rocks, but a little closer, the rocks were bigger. And I would sit on that rock, and I would look out to sea. And I'd communicate with the Lord during that time. I'm just praising God for this beauty. You could look out. The sea was perfectly calm on this one occasion. And as I looked out, you could see the horizon, which we're told is about 7 miles away. And you could see this, the beginning, the curvature of the earth, absolutely magnificent. And praising God for this beautiful sight. And then I've been there when the sea has been roaring very loudly. And the waves have been coming in, believe it or not, shooting against the rocks and going up 30 or 40 feet in the high, feet high. Just think how powerful the ocean is. Calmness and powerfulness. It's absolutely beauty. It was wonderful. It's enchanting. The sea has a magnetism all of its own. People are drawn to it. So when I read about there being no more sea, I sort of had this little bit of sadness in my mind. And the sadness, however, was quickly overcome when I think that it doesn't say there won't be any more water. It says there'll be no more sea. And so because there is going to be water, and water is certainly central to life as we know it on earth now, I'm left to think about the beauty of all that's going to take place when God recreates the heavens and the earth. I'm thinking there will be many lakes of fresh water for all to enjoy. And in Revelation 22, verse 6, we read this, verse 1 at least. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. Now, we are told that oceans hold over 96% of all of the earth's water supply. That's at the moment. We're also told that 70% of the earth's surface is sea. So there's a lot of water out there, a lot of salt water, a lot of sea. Once the oceans and seas disappear, there's going to be plenty of room for everybody to live on this new earth. And he certainly will design a new earth. And with this new earth, greater levels of marvel are going to even be before us. Marvel and magnificence, as we think that all that God has prepared and is preparing for us, for believers in Christ. Among the glorious things in the book of Revelation, we're told about the removal of the sea, But I believe there's going to be lots of water, and there'll be many beautiful sights for us to witness at that time. But secondly, we are reminded of the removal of the curse. Removal of the curse. This world is operating, even now, under a curse. We read this in Revelation 22. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Now, I don't know what you think of when you hear the word curse. I submit that many of us will think it's something of a profanity or a word that should never be spoken in public, a word of obscenity of some nature. This is what we hear more about. But that's not specifically what this passage is talking about. He's pointing us back to the Word of God as we find in the book of Genesis, the curse when it arrived. Let us hear the Word of God as found in Genesis chapter 3. Because, this is God speaking to Adam, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. But let me hesitate there for a moment. Every husband, no, I'll reword that. Every wise husband listens to their wife. This is really important. But wives, there's an extra responsibility for you. And that extra responsibility is what you tell your husband ought never to be against the Word of God. It must always be in keeping with God's plan, with all that he says in the Word of God. So wives, Eve didn't do that. Oh, that's another sermon at another time. But it's important for you to know. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through pitiful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. Eat of the ground. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. The curse is why everything goes wrong in the world today. Why it's gone wrong, why it's going wrong, even now. It's the fight of all time. In a sense, humanity always has to run uphill. Nature is often against us. The things that's going on in the earth is against us. It's against the way of God. In almost every way we think of, things are deteriorating. We think of empty fields that should be growing grain, but they're empty. We think of depleting forests. I think of the way in which those south of the equator are destroying the rainforest. We see the devastation caused by hurricanes and tornadoes and floods, and indeed by wars that are upon us, even wars at this time. The destruction and the senseless killing that's taking place, it causes us to sit up and take notice. We also see the results of sin in our world and in our own personal life. And all of these things can be summed up in one word, and that word is curse. That's the word. That's what happened when Adam and Eve did not do what they were told to do. In fact, they did the absolute opposite. Now, in the light of this description, let us hear again the words of Scripture, which says, no longer will there be any curse. Now, when you think about it, that's absolutely amazing. There is a time coming in our future when no longer will the curse that's been put upon the earth, that it will be existing. It will be gone. These are powerful words. I think of this often when I go out into the garden. Now, I don't go out very often because allergies keep me away, and that's a praise God item because I don't like working that garden. But anyway, when we think about it, in the spring of the year, our backyard and our front yard are filled with dandelions. Now, every time I see the dandelions, I think about the weeds and the curse that happened way back in the time of creation. I don't know whether dandelions are a weed or a flower. However, when they're in our lawn, to me, they are a weed. I don't like to see them there, and I'm glad when they are gone. Perhaps in the future, if dandelions is a flower, they'll have their own place to grow and not on our lawn. However, when we think about this, just think about the time ahead. What's coming? No more curse. When we think of all that, all flowers, no weeds. All roses, no thorns. all life, no death. This is what it's going to be like in this time yet ahead. And think of this. The work of our blessed Savior goes beyond the incredible goal of saving an innumerable throng of blood-bought people to this. The total work of Christ is nothing less than redeeming this entire creation from the effects of sin. Everything that is negative in this earth today is the result of sin. Sin in the Garden of Eden, and sin in the world today, and sin in your life and in mine. But there is a day coming when there will be the removal of the seed. There will be the reversal of the curse, and then the restoration of all things. John recorded in the book of Revelation these words, "The old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Or another translation says, "The former things have passed away." Then he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new. I make all things new." Isn't that amazing when we think about it? Dr. David Jeremiah, in one of his books, he quoted the Reverend Randy Alcorn. He's a pastor and an author, and he said this, "Heaven is God's home. Earth is our home. Jesus Christ is the God-man, forever links God and mankind, and thereby forever links heaven and earth." It's all going to happen because of Jesus. It's all going to happen through Jesus. God has given Jesus immense responsibility. We read these words in Ephesians chapter 1. "And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head." Who? Even Christ. Together under one head. This is marvelous. I've always wondered what the present earth would look like if believers all down through the ages had cared for the earth as they were supposed to do. That was instruction given to Adam and to Eve. But when we think about what's happened down through the centuries, down through the years, the way in which we have not looked after our earth. There have been money-hungry industry personnel who have poured poisonous substances into our rivers and into our lakes and indeed in the oceans. And when we think about it, the oceans in certain places are just filled with plastic that's gone all over. The environment, this kind of clear, pure environment, is not what we are experiencing today. But there is a day coming when we are going to experience it because Christ is in control. He is controlling everything that is happening, and it is going to be an environment in which we can praise God. God's word doesn't necessarily tell us everything, but it does tell us everything we need to know. There still remains some things that we would like to know, and there's a time coming when we will know. I believe there are greater benefits than you and I can even think about when we finally get to glory and when we are experiencing the new heaven and the new earth. I've often thought about the present world and what it must have been like at the point of creation when Adam and Eve were put in the Garden of Eden. It must have been breathtaking, pristine world, absolutely wonderful when we think of it. Now our blessed Lord has been in heaven for the past 2,000 years. He's preparing eternity for us. He's preparing a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. We'll talk more about New Jerusalem, the holy city, next week. But all of these are there for you and for me to enjoy. There are people in this world today who haven't a clue as to what's going on. But God in his wisdom has provided for every believer, every Bible reader, a clue, a hint, detail as to what's going to take place. Why we're in a world we're in now and what the world is going to be like. You and I have the privilege of knowing, but not only do we have the privilege of knowing, we have the privilege of being with Jesus during that time. Absolutely magnificent. That's why both Pastor Nate and I often give the opportunity to you, if you've never received Christ as Savior, that you would do so. And we extend that invitation to you even now. The scene in Revelation 21 and 22 is not fiction. It is not someone's imagination. It is absolute fact. It is the Word of God. All that is before us in terms of a new heaven and a new earth will be because of God's design. From God's heart to God's people, we are His because of Jesus. Amen. Now, this is a rough statement. We are not His if we do not put our trust in Jesus. There are millions who do not, have not, will not put their trust in Jesus. But we need to put our trust in Jesus, and then we belong to Him. Father, we praise You and thank You for the information that You give us about not only how we are to live life on earth now, but also what it's going to be like for us in the future, when we will be with You for all eternity, that we'll be present with You when You're ruling on this earth for 1,000 years. We'll be present with You when You have a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. We will be with You, and this is for an immeasurable time, all of eternity. Lord, You've made this possible for all who put their trust in Your Son as Savior and Lord. We praise You, we thank You, in our Savior's name, amen.